This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. It's that time of the week again. Time for Postcard from Poprad, your zany sideways look at the world of news and views and the completely ridiculous. In the blue corner, ladies and gentlemen, at the foot of the glorious high Tatras, in the little big country of Slovakia, we have no one. And in the vitreous of the darkly romantic streets of the city that's always insane, where all the dogs have air lips and go, Mark, Mark, we have Mark Gander. He's returned!
Hi, it's Mark Gander, founder of the Consumer Action Group, but not in Paris. I'm actually now, because I've been travelling around a lot, I've just come back from 3 weeks in the glorious United Kingdom, England, how wonderful it was, and now I've come back and I'm with the in-laws, only about 60 kilometres away from Geneva, in the foot of the Jura, of the lower of the lower Alps, and it's beautiful weather. Absolutely.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, while he tells you about
he's interrupted me. I think we need to explain the wonderful giggle of laughter that people heard in the background there, because that clearly wasn't me and clearly wasn't Lee. It was
a gaggle.
Eric.
Not a giggle. It was a gaggle because you're a gander.
It was definitely Eric. So hello, everybody, back again.
Petra. Petra's in Poprad. She said she wouldn't talk, ladies and gentlemen, and she had to. She couldn't keep her mouth shut like all women.
No.
Anyway, can we get on with this show?
Right.
Yes.
Right. And back to the intro, dear. Mark Gander in Paris, but not in Geneva. And
but not in Paris.
Sitting on the zit of the face of the universe. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Orphans of Postcard from Poprad. Well, there's a lot to talk about this week. Just let me say, once I've missed that bit, I can't read that bit, Mark. You'll have to read that bit. Anyway, I think I'm like D'Artagnan and Mark's like Artos. We're abandoned without even a mule, while Portlios is off gallivanting. The truth is, Eric very stupidly offered to run round the Olympic ring in recognition of Hussein Bolt's victory. The world's greatest Olympian, eh? He's only good at running, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, all he can do is run.
Is that all?
I used to be able to do that when I was three. Anyway, Eric set off. This is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. He set off last Thursday running round the Olympic ring in London 2012 with all the athletes. And the problem is, he's still going. He reckons he might be back by next week.
Has he completed the first lap yet?
I think lapping is the last thing that's on his mind.
Well, I didn't mean that kind of lapping. I mean, really.
I didn't mean that kind of lapping either.
No.
You're disgusting. Bored humour.
I'm doing
anyway,
my best.
Anyway, should we get on with the show? First of all, we've got to say hello to Talk Radio X and Replay Radio.
Hi, guys.
Hi guys, yeah. And to all the other stations around the world that we get on, we're so massive, you know, ladies and gentlemen, in all sorts of quarters. And we were broadcasting to Oz and to New Zealand last week, as you probably all gathered. What an experience that was. Anyway, now, pardon?
I said, yeah, true, right, eh? No sweat, yep.
Well, that was the thing. You missed all that, don't you? You know, this is the truth, Mark. You know what you missed? This is probably you missed because you went on holiday.
Yeah.
One of the biggest broadcasting events, certainly to hit RTI, where genuinely at the Olympics at one stage on FM, AM, shortwave, and the internet, we were actually potentially broadcasting genuinely to 150 million people.
Blow me. That's
well, that is incredible.
That didn't even include me.
Pardon?
And that didn't even
really
include me.
I have to keep saying pardon to you.
All right.
What? Are you speaking?
I can hear.
Can you hear all right? I think it's just my line here. Anyway, listen, let's move on. What we're looking at, the Olympics were absolutely fantastic and still are. And in a way, as somebody who hates sport, I'm still looking forward to the finale, which is going to happen over this weekend. But meantime, I've been looking at the way the rest of the world has been viewing our Olympic endeavours. And of course, predictably, and I'm sure you'll have something to say about this, Mark, the French aren't very happy with us, are they?
Well, I haven't really been following it too much because I was in England during the beginning of the Olympics. And I have to say that the spirit and the sense of community in England is just absolutely fantastic. In France, well, I suppose that they're not getting as many medals as they wanted because they were quite high on the table. And I suppose there was quite a lot of enthusiasm now then. But of course, also, don't forget that they came second in the Olympic bid in which the United Kingdom became the Olympic host. So I suppose, you know, they're a bit disenchanted about it generally. But I haven't really followed the news on it.
Do you think the French, without being too nasty about it, Mark, do you think the French are a jealous race?
Well, without being too nasty about it, I think yes. I think they really are. I think they're extremely possessive of their reputation. I mean, I think that for a long time the French reputation has not been very good. I don't really think that. What's extraordinary is that, whether it's the Olympics or not, there are certain countries you always see them waving their own flag, and that includes the Brits, of course, it includes the Americans, it includes the Australians, it includes the New Zealanders, the Canadians, all these people, they seem to be wave their flag, whatever the occasion, and even if there's no occasion. But in France, you never see anybody really raising or waving the French flag, and I don't know why. There doesn't seem to be this real sort of sense of pride in being French, in the sense of that it really has something of value in the way that many other countries in the world do. And I don't understand why, because there are lots of good things about France, really good, but they don't really seem to recognise it and they don't fate it. And I don't understand why.
I tend to agree with you. What surprised me was that the French are actually saying that they are particularly miffed with the Team GB's domination of the cycling events. And they've actually even suggested that Chris Hoy and Co. may have gained an advantage because of the kit they were wearing and the covers they had on the wheels. How mad, insane, that's a French joke. How insane is that?
Well, I've heard something about this, I think that at the end of the day, technology exists to be made use of. And I mean, if you look, for instance, at the kind of crash helmets that the cyclists wear nowadays, these aerodynamic crash helmets, which weren't being worn, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I don't know if that kind of thing makes a difference, but the French use them. I think everybody wants to use technology. And if there is a new technology that has now been revealed, I'm sure that maybe the French will use it next year, and I'm sure everybody will. There we are. I don't know whether one should say, right, there's no technology, you simply want the Greek, stripped naked Olympian idea, where there's really no place for technology.
He's off again, Petra.
What do you do? I don't know. I'm enjoying the sense of community. I'm enjoying the superb spirit. I think that's wonderful.
I think what you're saying is right. And it is strange that they pick up. They have as much opportunity as Team GB to use the technology which is permitted within the games. And if they didn't, if we use special wheel covers and they didn't, well, more fool them. I can say to the French is get up and use your onions. What about the Aussies? They've had poor games, haven't they?
They've had a very
they're
poor game.
They're sniping us.
Are they really? Well, maybe that's what happened. Can I ask Petra, what about Slovakia? What does Slovakia think about the Olympics? How has it been received?
We're going to do Slovakia in a minute. That's part of the script.
Oh, right. Sorry, jump the gun there.
Slovakia. Full start. This station that you're on was actually there at Slovak House representing Slovakia.
Right. I wish I'd been there.
You should have been there. It was really good. Now, the Aussies are saying that the support of the royals, the support GB's had by the royal family, has been bizarre. How can they complain about the fact that the royal family have supported Great Britain in the Olympics? It's ludicrous. The only people who really have said good things about us are USA Today. the newspaper over there, which say that, but even they've had a bit of a jibe as they say that it's loosened our stiff upper lip. I think it's a long time since the English had a stiff upper lip, don't you?
Well, well, there's all sorts of things to say about that. But, I mean, I have to say that I do understand where the Australians are coming from here. I mean, first of all, I imagine that most of those comments are coming from Australian Republicans, people who don't want the Queen. But at the end of the day, I mean, if the Queen really is the head of state for all these Commonwealth countries, including Australia,
yeah,
then one might say that, you know, there is a certain difficulty. You know, should she be really sort of standing up for United Kingdom against the Australians, or should she really come out on top and show that she is the leader of
the You're right, yeah, I understand what you're
saying. She is the queen of Australia. And maybe she should, I mean, it's a difficult diplomatic trick to pull, I have to say. But, you know, maybe they've something to say for that. And maybe, of course, maybe this plays into Republican hands. Maybe then the Australians are entitled to say, well, you see, she's not really an Australian queen. She really is a British queen.
That would be despicable if they made capital out of that, wouldn't it? But I understand what you're
saying. Well, I don't know. There's some logic to it. There's some logic to it.
Like impeccable logic to what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, every mother has a favourite son. And maybe Great Britain is the Queen's favourite son in these circumstances. As you mentioned, let's have a look at Slovakia. Slovakia, you know, when you think, I said at the beginning, they are a little big country. And that's exactly what they are. They are a country that came out of nowhere less than a decade ago and started to do its damnedest to set the world on fire. And at the Olympics, that at last count that I saw, and I'm sorry, Slovakia, if I miss one, they had one silver and three bronze medals. Now, that ain't bad for a country the size of theirs, and they're still going. I think Slovakia should be proud of itself. How do you feel about it? As Mark asked you, Petra, how do you feel about the way Slovakia has done in the Games?
I do agree with you. We are proud of our people representing Slovakia. So, yeah, and also yeah, having... Yeah. The Slovak house there, it's really nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, that's right. I think think that generally, Mark, is the way that the Slovak people are reacting to what's happened. They've done well.
Do the people in Slovakia, do you begrudge the United Kingdom?
I wouldn't have thought they do.
It is a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. That's why. No, but Eric and I, when we were at Slovak House, spent a lot of time with Slovak people. I love Slovak people, just like Eric does. They're wonderfully kind-hearted and funny and charming people.
Just
and
like me.
Apart from Petra.
No, I said just like me.
And, you know, but you have the voice, Petra. You are, you know, as that, what, can't remember her name now, but that woman was known as The Body. The famous actress known as The Body. Well, you're known as The Voice.
Okay.
Anyway, it's good for that country. And I'm proud. I've been doing quick updates on their medal situation on a website, and they're doing well. It's good. Next one to mention, I think, is Rio. You know, with the Brazilian press is saying Rio's beginning to worry about that it can't possibly follow in London's footsteps. Well, what's that all about? Why can't they follow in London's footsteps?
Yeah. Why can't
they're
they?
The people who invented the landing strip, aren't they?
They what?
Nothing, don't pursue it. That was just supposed to drift by. No, we're supposed to pick it up.
Oh, right, sorry. I just left that drift by. Well, it did drift by me, actually.
And then, finally, so let's just finish on something which fascinates me. This weekend, obviously, we have the closing ceremony. Yes. The opening ceremony at the Olympics was brilliant. I think Danny Boyle went over the top on certain areas. I think the NHS aspect of it was a bit overblown and a bit insensitive and a bit misrepresentative of the reality of life. But getting the Queen to jump out of a plane was a brilliant idea and works impeccably. Yeah.
Is Danny Boyle doing the closure as well?
Excuse me. A lot of people are asking that, and a lot of people can't answer it. I've got
because
a feeling
I'm just wondering whether the Queen sort of stunt cameo role is going to be continued to some sort of, you know, fantastically funny conclusion.
It could be she could turn up in a submarine. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's right. You know, maybe she'll drive away on one of those sort of rocket planes, you know, those human, you know, the James Bond rocket things?
No. Oh, one of those power packs that you have on your back.
That's right.
One of those. I know what you mean.
Maybe that's the way it's going to finish. Maybe she's going to rocket pack out of the stadium. Fantastic. Brilliant that she got involved in that. Absolutely fantastic.
I didn't. I'll tell you what, her age to do that parachuting into that little hole. Why, George, she's a good old egg.
Did you see her bloomers?
As soon as I saw there was a chance that anything like that might happen, Mark, I shut
shielded
my
your
eyes.
Did...
I averted my gaze.
Yes.
And going back to the finishing ceremony, because it is interesting that Danny Boyle, nobody seems to know if he's doing it. I assume he might have a hand in it, but if he has, why has he picked the Spice Girls to be the finishers? We've got the Spice Girls. What have the Spice Girls got to do with Britain anymore?
David Beckham.
That's a good point. He didn't do very well at the Olympics, did he?
He was very flash coming down the Thames in that speedboat. I thought that was smart.
Did he? He's of that age, isn't he? But Spice Girls jumping on the tops of taxis and dancing on the tops of taxis. What has that got to do with modern Britain? Have you seen who's actually lined up for this event?
No.
Well, there's a whisper George Michael might be there.
Really?
Yeah, George Michael, careless. And The Who? What the hell are The Who doing there?
Well,
the Who
are the most geriatric poor old McCartney. They might as well get The Who.
Oh, the singing tortoise. I know. What a fool he made of himself at the beginning. What a wonderful moment his performance was when you finally saw the collapse of the once great man known as Paul McCartney. Have you gone?
No. Don't know what to say to that. I mean, McCartney was never my favourite, I have to say, but I didn't think it was so bad, actually. I think
he was really good when he did Hey Jude.
Yeah. Everybody loves that. I mean, anybody could do Hey Jude, and the world would be pleased about it, wouldn't they?
And it's
great, you know.
And after that, though, what did he do that was worthwhile after that?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't sort
of... No, I mean, what did he do after that when he recorded Hey Jude back in 1960?
Oh, back...
Did he actually contribute anything to the musical world other than saccharine schmaltz and rubbish?
Well, I didn't like him at all after the Beatles split up. I don't think he did nothing that interested me anyway. Although, of course, he's got a huge fan base, great following, you know. But not my man, not my music anymore, really.
But it's when you think there are also rumours that Kate Bush is going to appear.
Oh, really?
Do you think that Danny Boyle really would be involved in something which is has the Spice Girls, a band of young ladies that have done nothing worthwhile, didn't particularly do anything worthwhile when they were famous, but have done nothing worthwhile in the last 10, 15 years. George Michael, who, like you say, lots of whispers about him. The Who, they're geriatric and deaf now. They can't do anything. Some Brit Award winner, Ed Sheeran, all right, he's all right. And Kate Bush. Do you really think Danny Boyle's had a hand in this? Why didn't he bring on Will Young and Phil Collins? Get all the rusty has-beens out.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, is it about art or is it about what pleases the people? I mean, it's meant to be something for everybody, and maybe that's really what it is. You know, maybe he's just concerned about the effect, which I think maybe is very important rather than making artistic statements. So,
are you pleased that the Spice Girls are on?
It doesn't particularly bother me. I'm trying to... Who would I really like to be on? Well, I'd quite like Bob Dylan, Soft Machine.
Who was the one who did Keep On Running?
The one who did Keep On Running. I'd like him on as well, right.
That's Eric's song, actually.
That's right.
Born to be Mild. What? Go on.
I can't think, but I mean, you know, I have a particular type of music in mind that I can guarantee you wouldn't be everybody's.
I think we've done the Olympics to death now. Let's move on. Let's go to that regular feature, which is full of tragedy and all sorts of despair and hope and everything. Real Gone Kids and Ranking Trevor, pioneer of rap reggae, killed in Jamaica. That's tragic, isn't it?
Well, that is, isn't it? I mean, there seems to be a lot of these people dying at sort of, you know, extraordinarily early ages for one reason or another. I mean, Jamaica, you'd expect to get shot, not run over. I'm afraid it's really true. I mean, it's one of the most dangerous... I think...
No,
have I been to Jamaica? Go. I went on my own accord, but I did go to Jamaica. Fantastic spirit, but very dangerous. I think probably Jamaica and Mogadishu, I think, and South Africa, probably sort of the most three dangerous places in the world. But yes, this what a sad passing.
It is. It's sad. Do you remember him? Do you actually remember? I must admit, I do actually.
Yes,
remember
yes. In terms of, you know, just being part of, you know, that that era of music, which was you know absolutely great.
Yeah. I think so. And he invented what's called toasting, and that is the precursor to hip hop. I remember his songs was Caveman Skank, if you remember. One I'd never understood, and I didn't really have a great deal of time for. And that was Three Pieces of Chicken and Chips, Please. And I thought, well, what was that about? That wasn't exactly breaking new ground.
Oh.
But he did it, didn't he? He used to record all his material in Jamaica, but his career fell apart in the 80s. And it's just tragic. He's killed in a car crash. You know, he had 15 children.
No, really?
15 children, yeah. And they're all grieving for him. That's terrible. Yeah. The next one's not exactly a real gone kid, but it's a real kid that has gone. And they are now going to put up a memorial stone to celebrate the life of Agatha Christie. And it's
in
going to
particular
be
in relation to The Mousetrap, which is it the world's longest running show?
It is generally said that it is, but there is one show that has run longer, and I can't remember where it is or what it is.
The Archers.
But yeah, pardon?
The Archers.
Is it The Archers? I'm sorry, I keep saying pardon to you. I know it sounds very polite, but I don't know if it's my headphones or your connection at the moment. I'm having real difficulty.
Well, I'm enjoying being asked for pardon all the time anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, they've erected a statue to Agatha, or they're going to erect a, it's not exactly a statue, it's a bit of stone, really, with a face of her cast in bronze in the middle of it. And it's over eight feet tall, and they're going to put it up in Covent Garden. I think that's really nice. I think that really is nice.
Yeah, and I suppose...
Go on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose that these things later on are interesting to go and see. But actually, I always wonder, you know, what is the motivation to go along and do these kind of things, particularly at a time when I suppose there's maybe not a lot of money. I wonder whether, you know, the real thing is to try and bring more people into theatre land and to bring more people, you know, to make more people taking interest rather than really honouring Agatha Christie. I don't know. I mean, I suppose that's a bit of, you know, unworthy scepticism on my part. But yeah, listen, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't hurt anybody, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. And I think he's right. And I understand what you say. Why Agatha Christie in particular? I don't think Agatha Christie was one of the world's greatest writers. She certainly wrote very, very good crime novels. But she came out of the period where there was no TV and things like Ellery Queen. Yeah. The magazine Hillary Queen were there, and that was the entertainment that was offered to the world, and it was really good. She was a schlock horror writer, but she changed the world. She had the longest running play on Broadway and whatever the English equivalent of Broadway is.
West End,
that's it. I thought it was a football team, West End. That's West Ham.
No, that was West Ham. West Ham.
Anyway, yeah, and they've done that. They've done that for her. They're going to erect this statue for her. Let's crack on. And, Sir Bernard Lovell's died. He was 98. I met him, you know.
Did you?
Do you know? Yeah, do you know who he is? That's a bit patronising. Of course you know
astronomer.
Who he is.
Well, I mean, he was, by and large, he was the inventor of Jodrell Bank, wasn't he? And they reckon that he pretty well single-handedly invented radio astronomy.
That's right, I accept that's what he did. He was I interviewed him a long, long time ago. Jodrell Bank, you're quite right, was his baby, and it was radio telescopy at its greatest. And some say today that it's really not been surpassed in any great extremes except by size. But I went to Jodrell Bank a few weeks ago because he said it ain't that far from me, Cheshire. Yeah. And it costs you a lot of money to get in there, but it's starting to decay. It's looking scruffy. The entertainment bits there are a bit rough.
Was it a theme park as well, then? Is it or something?
It basically is a theme park now. Very small theme park, but and astronomical theme park. But in its own way, it has a great charm, or had a great charm. And it just appears that the great charm's now been left to fall into disrepair, which is a tragedy. And it's sad to hear that Sir Bernard Lovell's died as well. Last one in real gone kids, just to wish Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, just to wish him all the best after undergoing heart bypass surgery on Tuesday this week. And he's 82 on Sunday. And I'd just like to say from RTI FM, good on you.
Absolutely. I think he had four blocked. How many coronary arteries have you got? Four. So this, he was maxed out and he's had four blocked arteries, all presumably unblocked. But pretty phenomenal, really. Incredible.
Yeah, I know it sounds it. Listen, we're running out of time rapidly on this half of the show. So what we're going to do next, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep and do on the next half because we've only got a couple of minutes left. So let's just talk about a couple of other things that have been going on, which I think are a bit shoppy. What about Edinburgh Airport? You've heard about this, haven't you, Mark?
Edinburgh Airport.
They've got a Picasso.
That's in Scotland, isn't it?
That's right. That's the one.
Edinburgh, Scotland. All right. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
You can't forget that Scotland is the capital of Edinburgh. Yeah. And Picasso, they've got a nude picture, a Picasso nude, on the wall in the airport, and it's called "Nude Woman in a Red Armchair." And somebody complained, so they covered it up. Anyway, they've re-uncovered it now, so you can actually see all the details of Picasso. What I wanted to ask you very briefly, because we haven't got long to go, is how do you, why are we so ashamed of the human body? It's accepted that what Picasso does is art, and he painted the human body. How could somebody complain about the fact that there was a nude?
Well, that's quite amazing. There are two things that are amazing to me here. First of all, that somebody managed to complain about it, but actually that then somebody took enough notice that he decided to cover it up. Who is this person who complained that they had so much clout that they were able to actually influence some decision to cover this up, to make such an extraordinary, absurd piece of action against it? Who complained? Who was this?
It was some visitors to the airport who were affronted by the fact that Picasso had the temerity to paint a nude female figure. And I can't understand this. You know, I don't want to get into a debate about pornography or anything like that, but I've never been able to understand why we are so shocked and offended by the human body. We all have one and we all use it to the best of our ability and we are all drawn to the human body. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The first half of the show is over. It's time for us to go. You can go and make a milkshake, whatever you want to make shake. Me and Mark will be back in 2 minutes.
We will. In two shakes.
Radio Tatras International gets on your wavelength. www.rti.fm